two messages. We have the foolish men's reaction to the birth of Jesus. And in an earlier message given on December 29th, we looked at the wise men who journeyed a great distance to Bethlehem, and they were following the star. And when they arrived in the city, they asked the question. Here's question number one in this story. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Today we will look at the foolish men's reaction to the birth of Jesus. Part one, we talked about the question that the wise men asked. Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now when Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. For you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, you notice that when the wise men arrived in Bethlehem, they went to a house, not a stable. And it was there, the Bible says, that they found the Christ child. Now, I want to look at the reaction of the foolish men's, their reaction. First of all, let's take a look at Herod the king. When Herod the king heard these things, the Bible says he was troubled. He was agitated. He was shaken to the core. He was, paraphrasing, really ticked. He was really shaken up. Because the question was asked, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? He was perturbed and he was agitated because he did not want any competition. I don't know if you know this or not, but Herod was called by the Roman government the king of the Jews. And he wanted to hold on to that position as best as he could. And the idea of a Jewish-born king, it threatened him. Now, King Herod was a brutal, vicious man. He was crazy, to say the least, because he was feeling so threatened by other people. He went on a rage, and he killed his wife. Can you believe that? He killed his two sons because they were a threat to his kingship. And he did not like that. And so what he did was he went on this rampage and killed anybody that posed a threat to his kingship. Now, it's amazing to me, he even called in the chief priests and the scribes. Verse 4 tells us, when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Now, this sort of got his juices going here. Curiosity. Notice they didn't have to think about it. The Pharisees and the scribes, there was an immediate response. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people. Now, who were these people? Who were these Pharisees? Who was these scribes? Herod sent him on a mission to find out where the Christ child was. He was such an insecure king, such a self-centered king, such a vicious, evil king. There was a saying floating around Israel at that time that it was safer to be Herod's pig than it was to be Herod's son. Can you believe that? That's who this man was. And so he sent the scribes and the Pharisees on a mission to find the Christ child. And these people were the religious elite. These people were the hierarchy of the temple. These people were the theological scholars of the day. And they no doubt was getting a paycheck from King Herod. At least they were very sympathetic to him. And it really amazes me. They knew the Jewish expectation of the coming Messiah. They knew that. They could quote Micah chapter 5, verse 2 off the top of their head, seemingly, and they knew the prophetic scriptures. But get this, they didn't go and check it out. They did not go and check it out. They knew all the prophecy, but they didn't go and check it out. Now, it's interesting to me that Bethlehem was only 4.5 miles away from Jerusalem. Just a long walk that they could have taken. Whereas these wise men traveled, some Bible scholars say, 400, 500 miles following that star. And yet these religious leaders of their day did not have enough interest to walk down the road 4.5 miles to check it out for themselves upon orders from King Herod. It's interesting to me that the day in which we are living, there seems to be a spiritual apathy floating around our country. Generally speaking, when we become apathetic to the things of the Lord, we begin to become insensitive to His Spirit. We don't hear it like we used to. Church attendance becomes spasmodic. We're not into it like we're used to. And there's a coldness to spiritual things, unlike what it used to be. And so these Pharisees and these scribes, it amazes me that they couldn't walk 4.5 miles to check it out for themselves, whereas these wise men traveled a great distance. And it's quite an indictment. There is a famous saying. It was quoted by a scholar in England. The reason I'm struggling a little bit today is I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm not used to holding a microphone when I talk, and I'm not used to having my left hand use the pointer. So anyway, get with the program, Dill, huh? And so, no, we're going to be okay. This English scholar said years ago, when he saw the decline of the church in England, and he was speaking of the state-run churches in England, and this is what he said: "We have been inoculated with a mild form of religion so as to make us immune from the real thing." That's quite an indictment. Inoculated with a mild form of religion so that now we are immune from the real thing. I think that could be said of many churches in our country today. Sad to say, there's so much Bible study. There's so much available knowledge on television, radio, and 24/7. Books that we can read and learn continually. Jesus said something very interesting when he was washing the feet of his disciples. Here's what he said. He said, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." The Pharisees and the scribes, though they had a head knowledge, they were not happy worshipers. Jesus said, "Happy are you if you do these things." When we acquire a head knowledge of the Bible, and yet that does not motivate us to move and live by the teachings of the Bible, then we can put on a happy face on a Sunday, but we are really not happy worshipers. So, they knew the prophecy. They knew the Old Testament scriptures, but they didn't have enough interest to walk 4.5 miles down the road to see the Christ child. Now, it's interesting that the wise men offered the Christ child gifts. They offered him gold. That was the metal for a king. And no doubt that gold financed their trip out of Bethlehem up to Egypt. Can you imagine how excited Joseph and Mary must have felt when these wise men arrived on the scene and they gave them gold? I mean, they were poor people, and they were the recipients of gold. And notice what the wise men did. First of all, they bowed themselves prostrate before the little child as an act of worship, as an act of humility. They gave themselves in worship before they gave any kind of monetary gift. Now, here's the deal. God is way more interested in your heart than he is in your money. Now, we all know it takes three things to operate a church. It takes grace, a lot of grace. It takes grit. And it takes greenbacks. Grace, grit, and greenbacks. And God wants your heart more than he wants your heart. There's a song that Keith Green wrote in a song, and one of the lyrics goes like this: "To obey is better than sacrifice. I don't need your money. I want your life." And the wise men came seeking the Christ child to worship him. And when they saw him, they fell prostrate before him as an act of worship and as an act of humility. And they began to give the Christ child three gifts. The first gift was gold. It was an ancient custom in those days that whenever you were before a king, you always brought a gift, and the best thing to give a king in those days would be gold. Now, Joseph and Mary, no doubt, took that gold and funded what happened in the next several verses as they made their way down to Egypt. It was expensive to travel that distance, and so the gold, no doubt, provided the funds for them to do that. And then they offered him frankincense. Frankincense was a very costly fragrance from the East, but any Jewish reading this would know that frankincense was used in the meal offering by the priesthood of Israel. And so as the gold reminds us that Jesus is the king, and they knew that, frankincense speaks of the great priesthood of Christ. Job, in his letter, wanted a mediator in his day. In chapter 9, we read about that. "Only," he said, "if there was a mediator, a daysman between you and me who could lay his hand on both of us." He wanted a mediator. And that is what a priest is, a mediator. The Bible says there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so frankincense speaks to that. He's our mediator. He's the priest. And finally, they gave him myrrh. This is the most curious gift of all. Myrrh in ancient times, when combined with wine, became an anesthetic that was given to Christ on the cross. Myrrh mixed with wine dulled the pain. But when it was ever mixed with aloes, it became embalming fluid. And so you remember that when Jesus was dying on the cross, and after his death, he was wrapped with 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes. Now the myrrh gave off a scent. It was crushed, and it gave off a fragrance to overcome the corrupting stench of the flesh. Well, that wasn't really needed in Jesus because he resurrected in 3 days. But gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The angels came announcing the birth of Jesus, and they said, "You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So, points to review, points to ponder. Number one, am I like the foolish scribes and Pharisees, or am I like the wise men? Or am I like King Herod, who worshiped a star of himself? There are some people, I'm not looking at them, chill out. There are some people I have met over the years that were so self-centered that when you had an audience with them, you just kind of folded your arms and you listened as they talked about themselves, what was going on in their life, what they were doing, what they were accomplishing. The conversation always centered around them. That was King Herod. So self-centered. And I've also learned over the years that self-centered people are sometimes the most insecure people. That's why they are self-centered. But in any event, so am I like him? Am I like the wise man, or am I like these foolish scribes and Pharisees? You have to answer that question yourself. I read about this man who knocked on a door, and he had kind of a sad look on his face. And so he knocked on this one door, and the woman opened the door to see this man that had a sad look on his face. And he said, "I'm so sorry to bother you this afternoon, but I'm collecting money for a very unfortunate family in the neighborhood. The husband's lost his job. Children are hungry. Their utilities have been shut off. And unless they get some money to pay their rent, they will get kicked out of their apartment this afternoon. So I'm going around the neighborhood collecting money for this unfortunate family." The woman said, "Well, I'll be glad to help you out, but just who are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm the landlord." Different story then, huh? He wasn't collecting money for this poor family. He was collecting money so he would get paid. He wanted to make sure that he got paid for the rent. Well, that was typical of King Herod. And I think a lot of people are like that, sad to say. They are so consumed with themselves, but they like to plaster it on. "Hey, I go to church. Hey, I love God." So, search your heart. Am I like the wise man, the foolish man, or King Herod? These magi, they followed the star of Christ, they bowed and worshipped in humility, and even though they were far away, look at verse 12, after it was all said and done, they departed for their country another way. They took a different route, the text says. And so let me say this. This is exactly what happens when someone comes to Christ and gives them their heart. They're never the same. They leave differently than when they came. You don't leave the same way when you get in touch with God. And it's a real, authentic conversion experience. The Bible says it this way: if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. When you have an authentic relationship with Jesus, it changes your life. It changes the direction in which you are going. Like these wise men, they went back a different way. So, over the years, we've had a lot of people come and go. And I've had it said to me more than once that when somebody feels it's time to move on, I've been told that while I have been at New Hope, New Hope has become, is what they said, a launching pad for future ministries that God is leading me to. And so I take a lot of comfort in that while here at New Hope, they take in the scriptures, They're eager to learn. They're faithful in church attendance. They pick up a ministry. And then it's time for them to leave. And like I said, it's been said more than once to me. New Hope was a launching pad for future ministries that God's calling me to. And with that, I say, God bless you richly and abundantly. Years ago, when we were young teenagers, Sherry and I, we had a dynamic youth group at the Yakima Church. That little youth chapel filled up with 25 or so people before the evening worship service, and some of the adults came early to join us in our worship service in the youth chapel. And we sang a lot of choruses in those days that still resonate in our hearts, one of which is this one. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. Things are different now. I was changed, it must be, when I gave my heart to Him. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Him. Now, how many of you know that little chorus? Sherry, can you play that at the piano by memory? Hunsinger said he waited 25 years for a piano player to show up. That's it. From now, something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. So different now, I was changed, it must. When I gave my heart to Him. And that is true. The wise men, after it was all said and done, can you imagine how they felt traveling that distance from the Far East? Look on the map. They came from Babylon, Mesopotamia, that area of the country, and they traveled at least 400, 500 miles. Consider the hardship. Consider the dangers. Consider the weariness of that long trip. They were following the star, and my wife and I got into a little debate. Did anyone beside the wise men see the star? I say only the wise men saw the star. The Bible is silent on that subject, by the way, so you can talk and debate until the sun comes up. But the wise men saw the star. Wow, we're getting closer. And then they came to the house where that little child was. And they bowed down as an act of worship and humility. And then they gave the gifts, gold. I doubt that Joseph and Mary had ever seen gold before. They were peasant people. Then they were given frankincense and then myrrh. After it was all said and done, they mounted up again, and they were warned in a dream by the Lord to go back a different way. I say, that a person's Christian testimony is really not authentic unless that person is walking in a different way, stepping in the light, stepping in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, I want to close with a story that I like, is what he says about Christmas. Christmas night. It's Christmas night tonight. House is quiet. Even the crackle is gone from the fireplace. Warm coals issue a lighthouse glow in the darkened den. Stockings hang empty on the mantle. The tree stands naked in the corner. Christmas card, tinsels, and memories remind us that Christmas is here, and now it's drawing to a close. But what a day it's been. Spiced tea, cranberry sauce, things like, thank you so much, oh, you shouldn't have. Or, grandma's on the phone. Oh yeah, it fits perfectly. Flashing cameras. It's Christmas night, and now the midnight hour has chimed, and I should be sleeping, but I'm awake. I'm kept awake by one stunning thought. The world was different this week. It was temporarily transformed. The magical dust of Christmas littered on the cheeks of humanity ever so briefly, reminding us of what is worth having and what we were intended to be. It's Christmas night. In a few hours, the cleanup will begin. Lights will come down. Trees will be thrown out. Size 36 will be exchanged for a size 40. Eggnog will go on sale for half price. And soon life will be back to normal again. December's generosity will become January's payments. And the magic will begin to fade for a moment. The magic is still in the air. Maybe that's why I'm still awake. I want to savor the spirit just a few minutes more. I want to pray that those who beheld him today will look for him next August. And I can't help but linger on one fanciful thought. If he can do so much with such timid prayers lamely offered in December, how much more could he do if we thought of him every single day? Well, Christmas is over. House is back to normal. And here we are in the middle of January. February is fast approaching. And before us, another year of opportunities and possibilities of what God might want to do in our lives when we listen to that still small voice. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, all of us here this morning have a relationship with you, I'm sure. And we have come to worship. We frequently come to worship because you are worthy of our worship. We love to sing. We love to hear the scripture taught. And yes, Lord, we love to rise up and obeying it, saying, yes, Lord, yes. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, for the faithful people that enters the doors of New Hope, faithful believers who have given you their hearts. And all I would ask, Heavenly Father, for you to show us by your Holy Spirit how our lives can be different, not just one day or 1 week, but the whole year. And may that sweet Holy Spirit of conviction continue to knock on our doors, asking us to go deeper in our love for you and the study of your word. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Now, if you will dim the lights, we want to conclude with this video.
Like a blind man who walks in the darkness, I had searched for the light. Then I Master, now I walk no more in the light. Child, I was helpless.